didn't know the motor. He didn't know the motor. He didn't have a qualification. And the thing that the Rickham was, over here. So now I'm saying this. Now, you see, the law was given by the Rickham. And if the law was given by the Rickham, so also was the property.
Yes, I see that.
One has to be there in front of the other. Mm-hmm. You see what I mean?
Right.
And neither of them are just the unctions of men.
Right.
And if it were that way, then you wouldn't have any way to approve the existence of the law.
Right.
But now, since both the law and the prophet are Yahweh's witnesses, you see. Now, Moses, I heard you speak of Abraham.
Okay.
Now, Moses wrote of Abraham. Is that right?
That's true.
Right. And he said this, that, and the other about Abraham.
Okay.
And that Abraham believed Yahweh. He said what Yahweh had said to him. He was looking and listening right at him. Saw it in a vision, you see. And when you know him, talk direct to him, like Moses, I'm talking about. That's the burning bush, and so forth and so on, you see. And after when he saw it, he said, I am the Elohim, not the Abraham, not the Father, the Abraham, not the
Right.
That's what he said. Now, he didn't see that. He didn't even get his toes something.
Oh, that's right.
But when the time comes for Yahweh to carry him back, see, through the generation and the offspring, this, that, and the other, see, then he saw those individuals and heard the communication and the contact of Yahweh's ministry. Did you understand?
Yes, I'm following.
Now, here's what I'm talking about. See, now, Abraham, you see, just like Moses, operated under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Just like Moses and the prophets.
Yes, I see that.
You see. So now, what we're saying here is, when you say to the Lord, see, you must remember that Abraham, see, and all the creation and everything else, see, come in after the giving of the law.
Right.
So then that brought everything in under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Well, therefore, the law and the prophets, both of them were given by the Holy Spirit.
I see that.
So one is a witness to the other, see, and the fulfillment and so forth and so on.
Right, you see.
In other words, all of it is conducted by the Holy Spirit.
Right, okay.
And not by a satanic or
right. Right, okay.
Now, will you buy that?
I will buy that 100%, and that's... Doc, what I was trying to say, let me just say this to you. Unless you're finished. Are you finished?
I'm finished, yeah.
This is what we're talking about. Rip was wondering... See, I made the statement that a carnal mind doesn't necessarily mean that a person is a satanic spirit because they have a carnal mind. Now, he wanted me to go in the book to try to give him examples of it. Now, what I was looking at is this. Before Pentecost, nobody had that permanent dwelling of the whole... Well, I don't want to say nobody. Folks... Go ahead.
See, that's the thing that I'm always trying to show, even in this dispensation and age. Now, the Holy Spirit is given in this dispensation. He comes to abide with you forever.
Forever, right.
But now, down in the other dispensation and age, whatever their assignment or appointment was, you see, with some individuals, you see, to carry out the work. But then, when that was complete, then the Holy Spirit left him after.
Yes, I understand that. I'm with you. Hello. Sure. John? Yeah, he's right here. I'll give him to you. Okay, here, Doc. It's John's time.
My dad, Professor.
I got to go to the bathroom.
You see, what I was trying to tell you was this, you see. Everything that was done, you see, even from the foundation of the world, you see, was in cooperation with the purpose of Yahweh. And it isn't always understood by everybody, see, because they don't realize and recognize that Moses is writing, you see, the pedigrees and genealogies of those who were before him, see. And it wasn't something that was handed down, see, from, although there was before Moses, see which we know it, but there was not no writing about it, see. We know that Enoch was the seventh from Adam, he prophesied, see. But you see, nobody never wrote nothing but Moses, see. That's the reason why he had to resort to Moses, see. So then if the law, which all of what we're talking about was under the law, you see, why then even the vision of the creation, you see, why then you would have to accept that it wasn't motivated by a carnal mind, and it wasn't the Messiah. Now, that's why I think
Now, other thing that we were talking about, I understand now what you're saying, that the all of the law and the prophets is under the influence of the Holy Spirit.
That's correct.
And the genealogies and pedigree that Moses received is under the influence of the Holy Spirit.
That is correct.
And what we were talking about specifically was as to whether there were two spirits.
Two what?
Two spirits in a body, righteous and unrighteous. That was the first question that I posed. And the second one was, what is the line of demarcation between a satanic spirit and a carnal mind?
Well, I'll tell you what you have there is a very complicated thing to answer in such a way that it would be clear to express almost the meaning of it. So that is so that they can understand and then draw a line of demarcation. Because everybody expresses their opinions and their thoughts about things, and it's up to you to discern, to have the whole truth, to discern whether or not what you said is unctioned by the Holy Spirit, and it has to be determined by the law and the prophets, which was given by the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Under that dispensation. Now under the present dispensation. Thank God. That's Billy Goat that's always in the back. and in the belt in front. Now the point is that under this present dispensation, the Holy Spirit is poured out and comes to abide with you forever. Now the Holy Spirit and the satanic spirit does not get along too well in a physical body. So then you cast out those spirits. Then you're occupied by the Holy Spirit. See, that body is occupied by the Holy Spirit. Sealed and preserved, and there's no way at all that Satan can get into it, you see. I mean in its reality. Now, there's somebody out there playing like this, you see. Well, it's up to you to discern them spirits, you see. And if you're not real, you can't discern one. You see the point? Because opposing of them, you see. Let me give you more some Bible for what I'm talking about.
Yes, I
think
appreciate
it's 2 Corinthians 11, 14, I believe it is. 2
Corinthians 11, 14.
That's correct.
Right. He's a fear of Lucifer.
Okay.
I want to miss nothing here.
Corinthians 2 Corinthians 11, 14.
But what I do, that I will do. But I may call for occasion for them which desire.
Why are you sure? Let me see what
it's not looking for. I'm
reading down into it.
Oh.
I just didn't want to pick it up there. I'm reading down into it. I just picked it up a couple of verses. But that what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion for them which desire occasion.
See, now that's what we're talking about. See, that's really on the subject.
That wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Yahshua.
That's right.
And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light.
Or a minister of darkness. See, now you can see that. Now read on. Read through that.
Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. Whose end shall be according to their works.
Now my point is this. See, now he's writing to the Corinthians. See, now the Jews were up there at Corinth. that charge, you see, and dealt with the preached the gospel to the Greeks. The Father, and to the Gentiles. You understand what I mean? Preaching the true gospel to everybody, you see what I mean? With the Holy Spirit. See? But I'm telling you about the situation up at Corinth. There's no difference in the conditions elsewhere. You see what I mean? Mm-hmm. And what you have to do and be on the lookout, see, for Satan himself, cast out of heaven, and let's say his ministers too, you see. And all of them are opposed and transformed as the successors to the apostles. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Mm. That was right among the people that were preaching.
That's right. Now you've got... You're in 2 Corinthians, right?
Right.
Now the whole subject, primarily, is on just what you were talking about. Now we'll look at it from another different angle. Now the true apostle. Right. See, now turn to the fourth chapter of that same epistle.
Am I missing anything?
No, he's in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians.
Okay, what was the point he was making there?
Satan's ministers is transformed into angels.
And Satan himself.
Right. Okay.
Into the apostles of Yahshua himself.
Okay. And this is a fourth.
And their contention was that they were successors to the apostles. You follow? And they opposed in every which way as that. Now, what we're talking about is you, that you have.
Okay.
See, you have to discern. See, them satanic spirits incarnated in those physical bodies.
Okay.
You see, you follow what I'm talking
yes,
about?
Yes, I do.
But now, what, we ain't going to have no two spirits.
In a body.
No, see, because for this reason, why? See, it takes a Holy Spirit to cast out. You can't cast out. It takes a Holy Spirit to cast it out. You see?
Oh, God.
You see what I'm talking about? Then after the Holy Spirit has cast it out, see, then you have the Holy Spirit. Right. Now, get me straight. See, then you are preserved. It's just like putting up some preserves. You see, they're loose for years and years to come, you see.
Okay.
When you're preserved in him until the coming of Yahshua the Messiah. See, you know, that's a real, genuine thing in you. You see what I'm talking about? See?
Mm-hmm.
Which discerns, helps you get discerned.
Okay,
now
yeah.
Now we want to get the difference between them that's transformed into the angels of light and even Satan himself. Now we want to get the difference between them and the true apostles.
Okay.
All right, there you go.
Can I just say something, Doc?
Yeah.
If I understand what you're saying, now I think I do understand you.
Yeah.
Now, if let's just say, if I had both spirits in me, it would be impossible for him to discern who I was.
That's right.
Because one time I'd be Satan, the next time I'd be Yahshua. Where if you only got one spirit in the body, the Holy Spirit, then that's how you discern who's the iniquitous.
That's right.
If you had both, there'd be no way to discern, because one time it'd be the Holy, the other, if it was that way, I'm saying. And it ain't that way. It's what the old man said. I'm with you, boss.
Okay. Now, I want you to know that it did exist.
Right.
See, and that is the contention.
Mm-hmm.
See, now, just like the question was posed to me one time. Say, listen here. Since you say that Yahweh, you know him, sent you, the priest. Now then, he said in Matthew 28:19-20, go in all the world and preach in the name. And lo, I'm with you always. I'm just cutting it up short. See? With you always, even unto the end of the age.
Mm.
Can you tell me who the successors of the apostles are that preach the gospel? Sure, I can tell you. That ain't no problem at all. Same spirit. And all of them are going to be with them all the way to down through the age. Sure, I know.
That's right. That
you keep your big mouth shut. See, and he said that he would do the preaching.
Right.
That's
right.
What he gets got through saying.
Right.
Well, now how do you get some proof of that? Then he tells Moses that he certainly I will be with you. You understand?
Yes, sir.
Until the end of his permission. You,
right.
You understand what
right.
I'm talking
right. Right.
See?
Right.
Now the point is you were just touching here. Now, how are we going to tell the difference? You see, between the true and the false. The false. Yes. Now that's what you have.
That we have this ministry.
Now you see, that for a
thing.
one.
Thank you.
And therefore made an apostle by the Gentiles. Now listen clearly to what I'm saying. It's because you see, the Gentiles, they never did have no prophets. See, all of it was given to the Hebrews, you understand? Mm-hmm. To be passed on to the Gentiles, you see, and blessed according to the promises was made by Yahweh to the Abraham. You understand? Mm-hmm. And his seed. You found what I'm talking
about? Yeah, I'm digging into what you say.
See? So I wanted you to see, that these things that are okay. Now listen, somebody would say that when Paul saw him going on the way down to Damascus, somebody said, well, he's got the Holy Spirit. I beg your pardon, the Holy Spirit got him. He was sent on down to Damascus, you see. And that's what the Holy Spirit do. Ananias told him. Said, why tempest thou? Rise and be baptized in the name of Yahshua the Messiah. See, wash away your sin. You see, you follow what I'm talking about?
Okay. So then, if Boss had... Well,
then he'd see, he'd receive the Holy Spirit. Then.
Right. And by his... By
then not only that, but I'm sorry, but then he went on down in... where did he go, Luther?
Down in Matthew 6.
After he left Damascus, where did he go?
Right
in the region of the Mount Messiah, Mount Sinai.
Right.
Where those spies were, you see, that didn't cross over. You understand it has an inheritance in there. See?
Okay.
You follow it?
So then virtue...
And he called that the pillar in the ground of the truth, so he told him.
Okay.
Okay.
What I want to know then... That made him to be an eyewitness then, right?
Yeah.
And that's why he was called an apostle.
That's right.
With you. I'm with you. Just wanted to make sure I'm following you all right.
Yes, indeed.
So if a person claims that they are under the influence of the Holy Spirit, and yet they go out and commit such acts as running around with somebody else's wife, a husband, or committing fornicative acts, a homosexual act, then that individual, in that particular spirit, is falsely representing the Holy Spirit. Is that right?
Well, now you see, you've got some things there that you just say. That people do, you understand, that claim to be, and then when it comes down to proving their contention, see, it must be done by the Spirit. Mm-hmm. That's the reason why I said that I should refer you to the second Corinthians, the fourth chapter, give this feeling with all of that.
Mm-hmm.
You see, mm-hmm. they're hidden things with dishonor.
Mm-hmm.
You see, and we will renounce that.
Mm-hmm.
See, and you're bringing to light the reality of the thing.
Mm-hmm.
You're not the contentions of mankind, you see.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? We're able then, by the Holy Spirit, to discern them to that. We don't give a hoot what they say.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? We have something to test this Bible. You follow?
Mm-hmm.
The reality of it. Now, do you follow me?
Yeah, I'm reading loud.
That's what you're reading.
I just want to get it straight. I just want to get it straight.
That's the thing. That's how you are. See, you just can't take everybody's testimony. Everybody's saying, yes, I'm right. You see what I'm talking about? And I believe the truth. You take that's what everybody's saying. But now, with you, see, who have heard and know something about the truth and the gospel, you can't take all this junk and stuff. You see what, but you do have something to discern the right and the wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You follow what I'm talking about? That was what everybody says. You take almost anybody about say, you see, that doesn't belong to the school and know nothing about the teaching of the gospel. They'll say that I'm wrong. What would you expect? You couldn't expect them to say that I'm right about it and they're doing contrary. That's the reason why couldn't none of them answer our request there. See, to read the book and send us back some kind of an answer. See?
Mm-hmm.
Because the chief, if he sends it back to an answer that he agreed with us, then he puts his foot in his own mouth.
Mm-hmm.
So the best thing him do is just keep silent.
Mm-hmm.
Because we said the next one, ever anything that they said, we were going to print in our next edition of the book.
Well, now that particular type of situation is very obvious. But when somebody comes to me and says, well, I believe that Dr. Kendall received the anyone revelation. I believe that he has healed the sick and raised the dead. I believe in what he's talking about.
All right, you see, now the point, just take that. That's all right, too, so far as that part. Now, what's caused you to believe?
The proof.
See? In other words, you have to have some
proof.
Even if a person says it. A lot of times people would say that and right. Still don't believe.
That's what I was asking.
You see what I'm talking about?
Okay, boss.
Just like they said about Master Well in the time. They said they believed. See? And all like that, you see? When you cut right down to the place where he had to go to be crucified, they're taking away with him now. You see what I'm talking about?
Right.
And still, they were healed. Many of them were healed. They've got all kinds of diseases, you see? Even down, right down among the apostles. Themselves, as them that were eyewitnesses, you understand? They're just as far off as Peter, too, and the rest of them, you see. So what you've got here, is you don't have to be backward about it, you see, or indefinite in your decisions and so forth and so on. You don't have to do that. Yahweh is real. That's the thing I've been trying my best to get over to the people ever since I've been trying to preach to them, you see. See, Yahweh is real. It's not some kind of a superstition, and then there's no proof, no nothing for it, you see, or some kind of exalted imagination. It's not that. Yahweh is real. See? That's the reason why I told them people, you see, in New York and everywhere else, see, and have the MC, you got Fantasia, you see what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. Now, we're not down there talking to ourselves and doing something we're imagining. Now, we don't want you to have no such idea.
Right.
You see? You follow? We're down there because we realize, we have found and we do know and we do realize, and we want you to understand. That's the same thing that the apostle is talking about there in the second chapter, in the fourth chapter of the second Corinthians.
Right.
You see? They found out about it. So they're these things that covered up in here. And the people are deceived. You see what I'm saying? What I'm talking about?
Yeah.
But there's a real, genuine Holy Spirit in you. Now, we've left the idea of saying apostles. We're just talking about the Holy Spirit in you now. And yet, that's what the apostles preach with. You understand?
Definitely.
You see?
Definitely.
And the same thing in your situation. You don't have no excuse.
Right.
I'm now back to the first chapter of Romans 19:21. You don't have no excuse for ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
You see? For not understanding these things.
Right.
You understand? What do you expect of the dead?
Right. Okay.
Your father?
Can I ask you something, Doctor?
Yeah.
Now, in discerning spirits incarnated in a body, here in the school now I'm talking about. I'm not talking about in the world. I'm talking about right here in the school. Okay. All right. Well, I just want to stipulate that for this reason. It's no problem for me to point to Billy Graham and the Pope and see that that's a satanic spirit. But what I'm saying is this. Let's say I get on the floor. I don't care who it is, anybody. And I get up there and I'm teaching something that I think that I understand and is right, but I'm wrong about the thing. I mean, I'm wrong. I'm just wrong about it, but I don't realize I'm wrong about it. Now, is it expedient for somebody to point a finger because I made a mistake, not intentionally, but made a mistake and say there's a satanic spirit?
Well, you see, now what you have gotten into that is probability. You see.
Okay.
And then another thing, too.
Mm.
You see, if the person that made the remark, if they had the Holy Spirit, they wouldn't do that. Now, look here. I have heard many times, people get up on the floor and make mistakes.
Of course.
Yes,
of course.
Dr. Father. They
right.
Didn't do it intentionally.
Exactly.
Your Father.
Okay.
Now, what I would do, if it was serious enough to be considered,
okay,
you see, I would go to that person.
I agree with you 100%.
But so, see, the point of it is this. See, if it were that way, and they said it, and even you had it recorded, you see what I'm talking about?
Right.
See, they were unconscious of the fact. You see? Most of the time, now listen to what I'm saying,
all right.
Most of the time would forget about that, even hardly before they got out in the stair steps. See? I'm talking about the audience.
I'm listening now. Okay, go ahead.
See? They would. In other words, if you asked them about something that they were saying, you see, they might have overlooked it altogether, see.
Okay.
You see, well, I don't.
See?
And they might have received it and went ahead and on. I said, but hey, Buster, you made a mistake. Right. You see what I'm talking about?
I see your point. I see your point on that.
Now, what I'm going to do,
okay,
is put you on the carpet.
Straighten you out about it.
That's right.
Right.
Okay. Now, that's doing it in righteousness. I understand that, Doc. In other words, that's
well,
the way
now
to do it.
Well, that's all you've got to go by. See, okay. You don't go by no superstition.
Right.
And you don't go by no false imaginations and whatnot and hallucinations. Mm-hmm. And say,
yes, I understand.
Some kind of ritualistic concept that conjured up by you.
I understand that.
All right, there you go.
This is what, okay, and this is what I'm trying to do, boss. I don't want to teach or make the mistake of pointing a finger at somebody when they made a mistake, when they were sincere, but they got on that floor and they, you know, all of us make mistakes except for you, boss. I mean, I know I make mistakes and I'm not conscious of it, and if somebody straightens me out and shows me, I receive chastisement or try to do that. Now, what I'm saying is, I know that a lot of people are pointing fingers and saying this guy is a satanic spirit because he might have got up there and made a mistake rather than doing it the right way, like you said, going up to the person saying, look, how does this work and can you prove it?
Not in front of the audience.
Yeah, I know. I follow that now. Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you on that. In other words, taking them aside. Okay, I'm with you on that. All right, I've made that mistake myself and I got condemnation and I won't do that again either. But
you see, you have all things that be done decent and in order.
I understand that, Doc. I'm with you. I'm with you on that, 100%.
Order set up.
Right. But see, you know, the thing I'm wondering here is this. In discerning a spirit, now we teach in this class that Satan gets slick in this school. This is where he's really slick. You don't teach your carnal ordinances and all that kind of stuff, all right? Now what I'm looking at is this.
No, that ain't right.
Oh, well, I'm right. Okay.
You see, now the reason why I said that.
That's right. Go ahead.
See, now Satan, that's what he uses.
The next.
Real rip.
Yeah, okay.
Now, see, I got to find it. You see, now I got to get it straight. How are you?
What's that?
Okay, Doc.
Let me see. How are I hadn't spoken to it
the fourth chapter of the second
where you were reading that.
Okay. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which they believe not.
You see that? Now you're among that's an individual that don't believe.
Yeah.
And the gospel in this reality is hid. Yeah. You see? You understand?
I think I'm following you.
In other words, if he was speaking by the Holy Spirit,
right,
what he said would be right.
It would be right, yeah.
See? Now, we don't have nothing like that in this school. See? You follow what I mean?
All right.
Somebody to get up and speak by the Holy Spirit or by a satanic spirit, either one. See, we discern which is right.
Okay, I'm with you on that point.
Well, now, that's all the points that can be.
Okay.
Well, do you follow what I'm talking about?
Yes, I follow that point.
Now, my thought to you is this, you see. Now, I have gotten up there myself, and I've said something about maybe Jerusalem when I met Ephesus or something like that. You see,
okay.
What I mean? And they're correct. See, stand right there and say, that's what they knew that I met Ephesus, you understand?
Okay.
So then they'll let me thank you for your correction. You see what I'm talking about? You see?
Right.
Yes, that's correct.
Yes, I follow you.
See, those things are... Now, that's not satanic.
Yes, I know that, Doc. I know that.
Well, I just wanted to straighten the thing so that you understand what I'm talking about. See?
Okay, all right.
But now, so far as the satanic spirit is not there, see, and the people being left in blindness and ignorance and darkness, no, that doesn't belong in this group, so please don't put it in here.
All right, okay, and that's...
Now, you see, I have to have something definite, something basic, something concrete, you understand, to prove to you, you see. There ain't no way to world and them slipping in the reality of it. I imagine many of them sitting out there in the audience in the congregation, they may claim to be a part of the school and all like that too. But you see, we can get judged and all of that. You see? In other words, we're not operating in the dark.
All right, I understand that, Doc.
Not if you're satisfied.
Okay, partially.
Well, now,
let me tell you what's on my mind. I know you.
I know what it is.
I know you know that too. Question. Doc, what I'm thinking is this. For instance, well, I know I've gotten on the floor and taught things that I felt were right. And once you, one time before, along 71, you told me this. You said, if you think you're right about a thing and really are convinced within yourself you're doing that thing in righteousness, until somebody shows you where you're wrong, you told me to stick to your guns.
That's right.
Now, you told me that.
Yeah,
now,
I've always said that.
Yes, and that's the only way to do it. I understand that. But what I'm saying is this. I have taught things I know and been... Well, example, I taught that the high priest went straight up through the veil there. Okay, until you corrected us and told us he went around the veil that wasn't split. Now, what I'm saying is once you accept chastisement and understand that you've been teaching wrong, you have to change. I understand that.
Yeah. But now, wait just a minute.
Okay, go ahead.
Now, you said you taught that.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, I taught that before.
So
I
was straight on it.
Yeah.
And they didn't know the difference.
They didn't, we didn't know the difference, exactly.
And I see now, Yahweh, and his imputation to you, to see, right. You are not all that wrong. You see, in heart, you're wrong about what you were trying to teach.
Okay.
See, now then, here's another thing about that same situation. Okay. You couldn't take the Bible and prove, see, that you were right about it. And they couldn't take it and prove it that you were wrong about it. You see, it's neither way, you see.
Right.
Because neither, because you don't have no Bible for what you were teaching.
They
don't have no Bible. You see,
so
you say that you're not right about it. You see what I mean?
All right. And what you're saying here then is this. Because it was done with a pure heart.
Yes, that's right.
Then that justifies it, right?
It wasn't revealed.
Okay. All right. That's what I'm talking about. Right what you just said there. In other words, when we get up to you made the statement that the Holy Spirit doesn't make mistakes. And it doesn't. I understand that.
That's right.
And what you're talking about is not that a person can't get up and teach something like the veil split,
but
the fact that their heart is pure and they're trying to do it in righteousness.
That's right. And you don't have them. You don't have
it hasn't been revealed yet.
Yeah, you see, that's right.
That's what I'm talking about right there.
Well, you see, the point is, that's as I said. Mm-hmm. See?
When
a thing is not revealed, it just isn't revealed.
It's
not before time.
So it is possible, again, for us to have the Holy Spirit, but because it hasn't been revealed, teach something that ain't necessarily...
Then you ought not to be trying to teach something that hasn't been revealed.
Okay, well...
See, prove all things and hold fast to that which is
good.
All right.
All right, I'm with you.
Proceed.
About the high priest going straight in, when about the veil. And that's the way it is now. He's looking straight on in now,
right? Yes.
So he's teaching us to straight away all along.
Right.
And we didn't know about the pipe he's going around.
Right.
See, he's been teaching us the right way all along, but we just come and find out about that.
That's
but that's the way it stands now. He's looking straight on in now.
It's been revealed.
Right. It's been revealed.
Okay.
So at first it was like this, and now it's like this.
Right.
I picked that up in Springfield.
Right.
Right.
So, all right, now, therefore, what I want to know is this, Doc. In discerning whether it's a righteous or a satanic spirit, how exactly do we look at each other? Say Rick's talking to me. How do I discern if that's a righteous or a satanic spirit? Is it by the fact that he's either got witnesses or he don't have it?
How is that?
Is discerning a spirit done this way? If somebody says something and they can prove it, that means that's a righteous spirit. Okay?
And they can prove it.
And they can prove it. By the law and the prophecy. Now, if somebody says something and can't prove it, does that mean that's a satanic spirit?
Not necessarily.
That's what I want to understand.
The point is, what you're discussing and what you're talking about, you see, just like the thing that we just got to know.
Talking about.
See, you don't have nothing to prove one way or the other. You see, then when you went to the scripture, that way you found out that you didn't know. In other words, you misapplied.
Misapplied, yes.
See what I'm talking about?
Right. All right, I'm with you on that. Okay. I see your point. Okay. Now, here's another thing, too. Once you have the thing straight within yourself, let's say, for instance, I taught Rip something wrong, and Rip came up and straightened me out on it. Now, if I don't accept chastisement, then that means that this is a bastard in here. Right?
But see, here's the thing, right? Wherever you're posing your question, you see, you're posing your question in a superficial way.
Okay.
Yeah.
We don't want that. We want positiveness. You
yes.
See, we want the Holy Spirit to be in you and be in Rick.
Right.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And you agree on things.
Okay.
See? In other words, expound the thing to one another.
Yes.
And see if you understand it. the same, you understand? That's what we're doing down there in the school.
Yes, I see.
Okay. Now, people may, there may be a bunch of people down there have a misunderstanding about many things. You understand what I'm talking about?
Yes.
But now when we expound it, that's what the school is. That's what going to school means, you see. Mm-hmm. See, when you expound it, you see, so everybody can see and understand it. You see what I'm talking about?
All right.
And then we ask the question. Now, do you understand? You see, that's why that do. Thought come from, do you understand? And saying that, do you understand? You haven't told me yet. You see, but now what you have to do is go on and explain the thing first.
Yes.
So that everybody, according to the law and Christ, so that everybody is possible, everybody that's sitting there, you see, even that has different thoughts and opinions about it, to understand. You see?
All right.
You follow?
All right.
There.
And
yeah,
there's something else.
The same thing that I've read many times. The same chapter you didn't know about. I read it and I understood it to a degree, but now you know the scales is falling off.
The veil has been removed.
Yeah. I've been looking at them, but now I'm looking at the face. But I understand this thing.
Yeah, that's right.
That's the reason why I had to get a clear understanding of what this thing is about, you see, because when you have people standing up and founding whole relations, I mean, adequate, and with such colorful oration, that, you know, I mean, it would be hard to disbelieve, but now if you are looking keenly at the thing, you can discern as to whether it's a false apostle or a true apostle. In other words, a person that, I caught this when he was down in Springfield, he said it three times. He said, now, the people, the apostles, or the disciples, was around with Yahshua for 3.5 years, and followed him around, and watched everything that he did, saw everything that he did, and still didn't understand what he was doing. Now, I've heard him say that many times. But it didn't dawn on me what he was talking about until he said it in Springfield. Now I'm getting some reinforcement.
Yes, now let me get into it right there. Yeah. Now what I said to you was right. Now then this is how that can be true. See, after his resurrection, Luke, 24th chapter of Luke, see, he sat down and he opened up their understanding. Well, if they had already understood, well, they were following around, it wouldn't have been in the sentence. Did they? That's what the book said.
Yeah.
The city opened up their understanding.
Right. When he opened up their understanding, now that was before Pentecost, right?
Yeah. Hi, Dad. Hi, Bud. Hi, Bud.
See? Hi, Bud. Bud, I'm sorry, I forgot to call you the other day. Seriously, I'm sorry about that.
Yes, I've went over there and cleaned out the post office box. Following my instructions from our superintendent, I opened all the mail, categorized it, and stacked it all in the crate. So one there that I didn't know who it was.
No, I'm sorry, I didn't know. So when he opened up their understanding there in Matthew, which was after his resurrection but before Pentecost, they didn't have the Holy Spirit yet, right?
No.
Then how could they understand that?
Well, listen. They found the one, see, that called what is written in the law and in the prophecies to be written.
Okay.
See, I'm the authority then to open up your understanding.
Yes,
to tell you the meaning of it.
I agree with that.
Well, if you're going to agree with that, then you're going to have to accept what I say about it.
Oh, I'm not arguing with
you. No, that is what I mean. I'm telling you, he was the one.
Okay.
See? And it would be the same thing when Pentecost did come. Now, when he opened up their understanding of the prescription, you see, how it was applied, you see, and why this and that and the other was done.
All right.
You see? Now, you can't say he opened up their understanding if he hadn't did.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
See, now then he did. Now him opening up their understanding, now they went and made another serious blunder.
Okay.
See, you see that? Now this is before Pentecost. Right. Now, this is what the other blunder they made. Right. See? He told them to go back to Jerusalem and tarry there till they receive power from on high.
Right.
And then you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and unto Samaria and the utmost parts of the earth. Is that right?
That's true. We
which the Holy Spirit they will receive, just to be exact about it, see, 10 days after. But between that and during those 10 days, see, from that of Pentecost, as he opened up their understanding now, they were reading around in the book, you see, because he showed them how to make the connections, you see, that's opening up their understanding. You see what I'm talking about?
Right.
That's what he was doing. But he didn't say anything at all about who was supposed to take you to the place.
I knew you were going there.
Well, I have to.
Obviously. Okay, I knew where you're going with that. I knew you're going with that. They ain't got no
he didn't tell them nothing about it. He didn't tell them nothing about that. He
right.
never opened up their understanding. Right. So then, since they know now how to go about the thing, you see, in the way that he told them, you see, he didn't open up their understanding, the reality of it, but didn't tell them anything about that.
Okay.
You see? Because the appointment was not made.
All right.
You see?
All right.
Yeah. Or, now, they didn't know, and yet still, Jews was right with them, like he one of them, too. And he had 11 anointing on, and he couldn't pay him visit, and pay on people, and they were being healed, too. No fun, no fool.
Okay.
See? They didn't know that the Jews would betray, but he knew from the very beginning.
Yes.
See? And a satanic spirit that wasn't later incarnated in Peter there, you see what I'm talking about when he's coming down off the mountain, see, was entered into Jews, you see. You following that?
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Okay,
well,
so...
What happens when Peter sided, when the Gentiles were with him, he sat with them, but when the Jews would come around, he removed himself, and Paul jumped on the guy. When Paul withstood Peter's
face... Now, are you trying to connect it with what I'm trying to say? Are you trying to connect it with what
right,
you're saying?
Right. I'm
now
saying
what happened before.
What would be the case of when Paul reprimanded Peter for setting aside with the when he removed himself when the Jews would come around, he'd remove himself and sit with the Jews, and the book says that Paul withstood him face to face because he was to be blamed.
Yes, because now you see, when Peter spoke, isn't clearly what I'm saying, Peter spoke to the Gentile. Now, you see, Paul understands Peter, and Peter understands Paul. Since he made the statement public, then he has to be rebuked perfectly for making the statement. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But when the scripture gets used in conjunction in relation to it, you follow? Mm-hmm. Not that Peter made a mistake intentionally, or that he was mistaken. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
But he had to withdraw that because of the broadness of the gospel. See, they understood one another.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's the reason why they extended one another's right hand. Because it was brought out right there before them. Both of them extended their right hand of fellowship. You see what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay.
See, you could apply under the law. Then, after you get from under the law, you see,
mm-hmm.
see the application.
Mm-hmm.
Now, both of these people, she had the Holy Spirit. See? And it could be applied under the law. And then it could be applied under the dispensation of grace.
Mm-hmm.
See?
I
have said things to people. See? And didn't finish the statement. See? They went on off with that. You see? And then later, they brought it up. And then I said, yes, I did say that. And it recorded, too. Yes, I did say that. But I just didn't finish the statement. A lot of times I hear them get up and say things, and they don't finish the statement. They finish the thought. See, sometimes it's because it's an interruption. You see? See, they don't finish the thought. Well, somebody's got the thought up to a certain point, and they're going on off. But since you didn't finish it, those people got the wrong perception. See what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But when you find out then they got the wrong perception of because they wasn't committed under circumstances to finish the thought. Then if you don't finish it, then it's something that's important, you see what I mean? But then next time or something like that, then you call their attention to it and then repeat the thing and then finish it up.
I got one other question, and I'll be through asking questions. Now, inasmuch as you said that the Holy Spirit don't make mistakes,
right,
and Peter being full of the Holy Spirit at this particular time, Peter and Paul both, but now then, in this particular circumstance, when Paul reprimands Peter, would that be considered as a mistake, or just what would
no,
it be considered
now,
as?
No, let me tell you about that. Now here, down at Cornelius' house, you see, Peter commanded Cornelius to be baptized. Now, what that was said, Peter had the Holy Spirit too. That was said purposely. In other words, the Holy Spirit let him go on and say that. You see what I mean? Because of what was written before, you see, that he would bring all things back to his remembrance, whatsoever he had said to him. So he permits him to say this. You see, and what he said heretofore, you see, was all right while he was preaching. You see. But when he seen the Holy Spirit that was falling on, then that hit on them at Pentecost. Then his attention is distracted. You see, or withdrawn from that. See, then seeing that, then that made him, he's puzzled about it, seeing the Gentiles being brought in. But Yahweh bringing him in according to the way he made the promise to Abraham, you see. But it was by faith, not by the works of the law. See, well, Peter, you see, having been one that was with him on both sides of the cross, now, you see what I mean? See, then he recommends that he be baptized. In water.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit ceased, you see, of expression. And he's taking his thoughts now to go back to where, you see, to where they were before his death, burial, and resurrection. See, so the Holy Spirit bringing it to his remembrance. Mm-hmm. Now that he had told him, you understand, that it was that the Holy Spirit would bring to his remembrance everything that he had said to him.
I see.
Then Peter said, then remember thy the words of your God. He said that John should have baptized with water, but he was baptized with the fire that he had to read.
On that part right there, that Peter's carnal mind going back.
No, it wasn't his carnal mind. He didn't have a carnal mind.
He didn't have a carnal mind now?
No. No, that's not a carnal mind.
No, I know that, but he didn't have one no more?
Look, a carnal mind and a spiritual mind is one of them. It's not one and the same.
Okay.
See, but I was just saying that you see, it was the Holy Spirit
that
allowed him to say that.
I get that now.
You understand? In order so that he could bring to his attention. Now, when he was looking at that, you remember, taking part on the other side of the cross, it was true. But there was no Gentiles baptizing. But it was true that water baptism was in order.
Okay. I'm with you.
It was not a superficial thing. It was true. See, but Peter, see, he just didn't understand.
Yeah, okay.
See, because nothing was explained to him, you see, about the Gentiles not being baptized.
Okay, all right.
So then, now that was purposely done. So that he can call his attention to it, you see, and it's best by revelation that he received.
So you understand that now.
Then Peter, see, as the Holy Spirit speaks up, reveals it. So I tell you here in the first chapter of Acts of the Apostles, before I sent John truly baptized. You see, but you shall be baptized with
fire and the Holy Ghost. Right. I'm with you on that, Doc. Now here's something else.
I just want to know.
I'm with you on it. Here's something else, too. Going back to our original point about then opening up their understanding, but the Holy Spirit was being poured out 10 days later. That means then that a person can understand institution of fulfillment and not have the Holy Spirit?
Well, you see, the direction, the director in both cases,
okay,
is the same.
Is the Holy Spirit.
You see?
All right.
Now, let's put it like this. Now, you and I are sitting here talking.
Okay.
You see? Now, as you talk and as I talk, you see? Now, I've got to discern from which angle that you're speaking from before I can teach you anything, give you any understanding about it.
All right.
You follow?
Yeah.
But I've got to be real. I can't be false.
Definitely.
You see? Right. You follow what I mean?
Okay.
But whatever I say to you about it, you see, that's his authority. It's authoritative. It's me sitting here with the Holy Spirit, you understand, as it would be if it were, I'd ascend it and poured out the Holy Spirit. Same Spirit.
Same thing.
See? Now, just like this. When he taught them how to pray, he was in the flesh, sitting down there talking to them, see? Now, you pray after this manner. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Hallelujah. You see? Now, that's what he taught them.
That's correct.
See? He's giving them that. Same thing as he does out of the faith. See? The Holy Spirit makes you intercession for them. Same thing. No difference.
Same teacher, what
are
you saying?
Yeah,
I'm with
you
on that.
Well, that's the way it is.
Okay, I'm with you on that,
Doc. Well, see, he's making the intercession for us now, just like he was telling them how to pray. The same Spirit, no different.
Yes, I understand that.
You follow?
Yeah.
Well, that's what you got to understand on both sides of the cross.
I'm going to run this stuff over again. I'm going to see the beach.
I'm sitting here with the boss here because Mary went out to. You know what I want to do? I want to make one of the things if I can before I leave. I don't know. And I don't understand what you're talking about. Although, what you're saying, the points you're making, I understand. But where you're going with them, I'm
not. You
don't
always understand. Sometimes you do.
Sometimes I do, yeah, I'll admit
well,
that.
Well, that's because you don't understand. It's my indispensable duty to explain to you. It's a bit more so you would understand.
But I sometimes think you get mad at me because I don't
know
how
to do that.
Right. Okay, well, I'm just going to be honest
that's
with
what
you.
My job is. And on top of all that, see, I'm fully conscious and aware.
Yep, I know that.
You see, I'm fully conscious and aware. A lot of times, as I told you before,
right.
These statements are mean. See, people are wrong about it. But I don't choose to correct somebody in an audience. You see, I understand what I mean?
Yeah, I understand.
See?
Okay.
That. But that's what my job is.
Your job, okay.
See? It's discerning. You see? Your father?
Okay.
Now, why should I get mad at you?
Well, here's the thing, Doc. I'm trying to understand what you're saying. I'm not trying to put any barriers up. I'm not trying to act like I understand.
Now, you don't have to tell me that.
Okay. I know that.
Well, I didn't want.
You know why it's so hard? You know why it's so hard to talk to you, boss?
See, I cut off occasion.
It's hard to talk sometimes to you, boss, because you don't know what to say to you. Because anything I say, I'm aware that you're already aware of it.
Well, that's all right. Go ahead and say it.
Okay. Well.
Yeah.
I've caught some things you said today that are nice points, and I really like them. You know, like I like that point you were discussing about the Holy Spirit not making mistakes. I think I can follow that.
Don't make no mistake.
Mm-hmm. That point about discerning that false prophet now or that false spirit and showing that if there were two spirits in a person's body, obviously, it discerned. Because one time the Holy Spirit
happened,
next time the satanic spirit happened.
Compare spiritual things with spiritual things.
That's a beautiful point.
Well, from what I can get out of it, and I'm going to be frank and honest with you, from what I can get out of it and discerning the deportment and conduct with certain individuals that I have to have, is that if two spirits hang out for you in the fire at the same time, then with the deportment and conduct that I've seen exhibited, then those people, Pentecost hasn't come. In other words, the Holy Spirit hasn't come. You don't, to me, the Holy Spirit doesn't mess around with somebody else's wife or somebody else's husband. It's obviously wrong in reference to what you told us the other day, that physical adultery is wrong, and the Holy Spirit hasn't been pleased with it physically or spiritually. All right? So if a person is still under those particular influences and engaged in that type of activity, then it is quite obvious, if two spirits can't abide in a body at the same time, it's quite obvious that the Holy Spirit has not come in that individual.
All right, and by the same token, Doc, you had said this the other day, too, that when a person is not has not yet come into the awareness of what they're doing is wrong until such time that person is, if they're not violating their conscience, let's put it that way. Well, in other words, if you're violating your conscience, okay, I can see your point, you're doing something wrong, but I'm looking at a person making mistakes and not realizing what they were doing was wrong. Does that necessarily mean that's a satanic spirit?
No.
So?
No, you see, that's the reason why I said that.
Right.
That, you see, there's no question about it. See, people that are right in the school, some of them are doing some things that are wrong.
Yeah.
They're not doing it perfectly.
I'll testify to that.
But my point is this. You see, when they find out that they're wrong,
that's right.
You see, then it's time to quit.
To straighten up.
Stop.
Flies
now, let me get that in the book. See, you want to move it on the inside of the book.
All right.
See, now,
we got one right here, David.
You put that one. You know the answer.
He's fine.
Huh?
Yeah.
He won't charge you
that. And he's got one, see. Okay. Now, there was a. John said there is a sin that is not under death.
Right.
I do not say that you should pray. That was a sin of ignorance. And that they done things ignorantly under the dispensation of the law.
Yes, that's true.
See. But they didn't need to do it intentionally just to be